The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do you hear also in your hometown the things that we have heard you do in Capernaum?" He said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in a prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through their midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come up. Good morning. Still kind of tired? Yeah? Okay. What does the word hope mean to you? Sky, what do you think when you hear the word hope? Yeah, you can hope that, like, your sister or you have good grades, or... What do you think, Clara, when you hear the word hope? Do you have anything?
I hope it, like, when you go to the festival, I hope there's crayons there.
You hope there's crayons there? Yeah? So like when you go to a festival, you really hope that there are crayons there? Yeah. So you can hope for good things. And so in one of our lessons today in the psalm, there was a verse, 71:5, that said, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." And so from your young age, God becomes your hope and your trust. This place where you can put all your hopes and dreams for the future, and this place where you can trust that God will love you and God will be with you. Enjoy your pictures. You can color them however you want. You have a little picture frame inside of here where you can draw your own picture right there, but go in God's peace. Amen. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So let's have a little conversation about communities of faith. I remember slightly the last congregation my grandfather served in upstate New York. I remember it because as I grew older, the memory actually grew stronger because of one of the things that was actually in his letter of call. And so I'm sure we're not going to be looking for a pastor who needs this sort of talent, but he served an old German Lutheran congregation, and part of his letter of call was honest to God to bless and tap the first keg at Oktoberfest, which was held in the fellowship hall downstairs. That's a German Lutheran church for you. My high school, a community of faith, always had this huge corn festival. And so a long time, a long time supporter of my school owned a huge corn farm, several actually, and would just come in with a truckload of sweet corn. And we would, part of the job would be as the students would actually go out and shuck all this corn. And it would become this weekend-long community event that I would often eat way too much corn. We would have these huge corn-eating contests and all of this craziness. But it was just a fantastic weekend. And I remember Trinity Lutheran Church would have this community event, this turkey dinner that everybody in the whole town, this town of less than 100 people, and everybody would come in from their farm homes and prepare this huge meal that people from towns all over would come in for. And we're in the land of Ludafisk, and so for people to find a different meal to come and travel for was actually a huge thing. And then we get to Corinth. The faith community in Corinth, who seems to be having some issues. We've already heard about them not fully getting the understanding of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they sort of live out in the life of the church and how they're supposed to be the body of Christ and that one thing is actually not really more important than the other, but God sort of orders all of this for the betterment of the life of the church. But Paul is still going at them to sort of point this out to them. And so in verse 4 of our reading, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist in its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. And he goes on a little bit more to point out to them how this loving community is supposed to live together. I want to point out that I actually hate this text as a wedding text, but everybody uses it because it talks about love, and on that time, it actually is a great thing. But I've always not liked this text as a wedding text because growing up with my grandfather, he didn't like it either, so that's probably where it comes from. But it was this absolute misunderstanding of the use of the word love here. I mean, because we get over and over again this word love that is not eros or philia like we talked about before. It's not romantic love and it's not brotherly love. The love used here is agape. This is God's complete whole love in the community of faith. And this poor group of folks in Corinth have just missed the mark. They're squabbling over who has the most important gift, who is doing more, who's doing less, who deserves this and who doesn't. And Paul is trying to help them understand what it truly means to be a community together. To rally together, to put together fantastic festivals like Oktoberfest, or a huge corn festival where you find students from middle school up to the oldest members who graduated from the school in its first year, who all come back and rally together to pull this stuff off. You find communities of faith who come in from all over to support one congregation. And Paul continues to go on and he points to them and says in verse 13, "And now faith, hope, and love abide. That these are the three core pieces of a faith community that hold us and bind us together. And of these three, the greatest is this love, this agape, because we are nothing without God's love. We are nothing without that love that binds us together, that brings all of our different talents together into one place to make us the body of Christ. And that calls us to take all of these gifts that we get from one another and to turn them outward and to go back out into the world. Now, this is the issue that Jesus ran into. He comes back to his hometown and reads these fantastic words from Isaiah. He sits down and tells them that the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And they loved it. I mean, it says it in the text. They were amazed by this, these gracious words that came from his mouth. This is Joseph's son, connecting him to the community of faith. But Jesus goes right at them and says to them, you're going to doubtlessly want me to do these things here, like you heard about in Capernaum. And that you're going to reject me because of what my mission actually is. And they become irate by this. It actually drives them to want to kill him. Because their thought process is, of course we want the hometown boy who can do and heal and of course we want him to do all of these things here. Stay here with us. Make all of this good for us. But Jesus' mission is bigger than just us. That he comes and the word is fulfilled in our hearing and this inward thinking is turned inside out. And as they're moving him towards the cliff, in their rage, in their blindness, he's able to slip right through them. And he goes out into the world. So, you know, I always come back to us and our faith community. We're in this really interesting time, aren't we? We had this day yesterday of bidding one of our faith leaders farewell into the eternal kingdom. An opportunity for many who interacted with Duane to come back and share so many stories about his life and ministry. We have this fantastic opportunity that in our midst we get to share in the retirement of Pastor Will. To talk about with him, make fun of him, and remember, settle down, and remember all these fantastic years of ministry here and in other congregations. And of all of this inward thinking, we can never lose focus that we have to continue to move forward. look forward, look into the future. That in these texts, God is saying to this community in Corinth, to this community in Nazareth, to this community in West Lafayette, that God bids us to stay in God's heavenly love. And that in this agape, we continue to be forced to move forward. We continue to be forced to keep our focus outward. And that God gathers us. God inspires us. God strengthens us. God saves us. But that in all of this, that in all of this love, we continue to be pushed out. We continue to be called out into a world that needs to hear this message. A world that needs to hear about our Lord and Savior, the one who comes and lays down his life for all of us. All of us in this place right now, everybody outside of these walls, believers and non-believers, lays down his life for all. A salvation fully won through our incarnate Lord and Savior. Well, that's fancy, Pastor Mike. Thanks a lot for that. But what exactly can we do about that? How exactly do we really participate in this work? Well, that's the hard part, right? I mean, we get to hear all of these words. We get to sort of live in them for a few more minutes. But what happens once we actually go out the doors? What happens actually when we engage into the world that is enraged? That's enraged, trying to drag Christ to the cliff. Well, that becomes one, something that I believe each and every one of us need to find out what part of the body we are and spend time digging into that. That two, it happens in this faith community as we celebrate and we sorrow together. Those gifts show themselves in here. Like a test tube or a beaker where something is mixed together and you get a result that comes out on the other side. But then to find those things outside of the walls that we feel called to find those people and those places where God seems to be saying, this is your place, this is your spot. And it could be the simplest of things. It can be at school with friends. And when everybody else is talking about their faith, us Lutherans really do a bad job of saying, well, I love Jesus too. And the cool thing is, he loved me first. It's an opportunity that might be given to you when you're interacting with students on campus, if that's where your life takes you. In your retired life, it's this opportunity to be able to dwell with people in your retirement community. To be able to sit down with the group of people that maybe you have coffee with once a week. And to be able to share that message of love and hope that exists in you. And to shine that light, to walk through the anger and the rage and the chaos of the world, to share that message. That message of the one who we profess as our Lord and Savior every Sunday and every day. And so hear these texts that bid us to continue to live in this agape love that strengthens us, that holds us together, that gives us the ability to say, our God saves. Our God saved. Our God continues to save. In our faith community and in the world. Amen.